Support for Soundwaves from the Underground is brought to you by 24tix.com, the most convenient way to buy tickets to your favorite local concerts. Save time, save money, rock out. 24tix.com, your ticket to the experience.
I'm trying to sound like a monster, one of those church guys.
Local for brothers and sisters, the youth of today are God's children, and even God's children stray from the truth.
I'm JP, and this is another edition of Soundwaves from the Underground, the official podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, Utah. Slug is an acronym for Salt Lake Underground, and we are one of the oldest independent publications in the U.S., distributing free monthly issues about music, art, subculture, and action sports. On today's show, we're going to be taking a look at the Salty Cricket Composers Collective and the music they create. We'll also be interviewing Michelle Thompson from Local First Utah, checking out new music from Vina Kava, and previewing the upcoming Help Portrait event with the SLC Photo Collective. The Salty Cricket Composers Collective is described on their website as a crunchy, savory new music ensemble that performs the works of living composers who currently reside in Utah. And we're sitting here with co-founder Crystal Young Otterstrom. Is that a good and accurate description of the group's current mission, would you say?
Absolutely. We also like to describe ourselves as a locals first for Utah composers. So we only perform the works of Utah composers. You can't just have been born here or educated here. You have to be living here right now.
And you folks have had three, almost four seasons now. The fourth season, you said you just had one performance, but 3 years strong is pretty good for this sort of musical endeavor.
Yeah, we're pretty excited about it. We're feeling a little more mature as a new arts group. We're doing four concerts in our fourth season. We have three still to go for the rest of this year.
We've got one coming up on Broadway, organs, and then Pierrot.
Yeah, a Pierrot ensemble is based on a piece by Arnold Schoenberg, who was a kind of a turn of the century composer, and he reinvented classical music. So instead of it being tonal and based on a certain pitch, like a lot of rock music is, he equalized the scale so that all 12 notes have equal importance. His piece where he kind of premiered that thinking, that theory of music, is called Pierrot Lunaire. And it's this crazy piece with an ensemble for flute, clarinet, violin, cello, and piano. And then a singer who mostly screams, actually, the whole time. It's a pretty wild piece. And it's such an important piece in classical music that that ensemble has now become a standard ensemble called a Pierrot ensemble. And so our concert on December 14th features that ensemble. Plus we're adding percussion for pizzazz, which a lot of people do anyway.
And where is that going to be performed then?
It's going to be at the Dumkey Recital Hall at the University of Utah.
And you folks also perform at other venues around town occasionally?
Yeah, we move around depending on our needs. For our organ concert, it's going to be at the Libby Garner Recital Hall at the U. It's March 12th. And that's, of course, at that venue because we need a large organ, a large pipe organ for that concert. It's going to be really exciting. It's got some really great music on that program. And then our Broadway concert, which is fully developed scenes from works in progress, Broadway works in progress by Utah composers, that's going to be at the Rose Wagner Performing Arts Center, because you kind of need a black box space for something like that because you need lighting in addition to really great sound.
Can you talk a little bit about the last few seasons you've had and some highlights from local composers and performances that you recall?
Definitely a highlight for me was the Allegory of George versus Georgette concert last year. What one of the things we tried, we kind of have a formula for our seasons that we've developed, and the first concert we often will do our melange concert, which is kind of anything goes, mostly electronic music. And then we make up an ensemble out of our heads, and then we do something more standard. And last year, I have a piece, Allegory of George versus Georgette, that I had never gotten recorded in its entirely because I could never find an electric guitar player with the chops to play it. And so last year, we did a concert with that ensemble that I had made up for Allegory of George versus Georgette. It was really nice of the rest of the board to go along with that. So that was a big highlight for me. But we have had so many great concerts. Our annual Melange concert is always really cool because it is the mostly electronic, anything goes concert, you'll hear some wild stuff. I mean, our Melange concert that we just did, my friend Dave Sullivan wrote the piece, and he wrote a recipe. So the words were a recipe for this spicy chicken wing dip, basically. And I sang it, and I prepared the recipe at the same time. So it was pretty wild.
That's a whole nother level. I've never heard of anything like that before. Yeah. That's pretty exciting. So you're a singer originally, and then, but you've also composed for all sorts of different instruments as well.
Mm-hmm. I started singing classically at 13, which I don't recommend. You should start later. And then I really got into composing in college.
And you're a self-described compositrix? What is that again?
It's a word I made up. You know, dominatrix. Trix is just a feminine suffix that feminizes anything. And so I thought, you know, composiatrix was like a female composer, but also had the funny connotations of dominatrix added to it. So
oh, it works. All right. And can you tell us a little bit about the piece selection process? There's a board that runs Salty Crickets.
Absolutely. So our board, we will put out a call for scores, usually about 6 to 7 months before each concert. We ask people to submit their scores to us. They don't have to send a recording. We can read scores, but recordings are great too. And only recently have we gotten enough submissions that we really had to turn people away. So that's pretty exciting to be at that level now where enough people are interested in submitting music for us. We definitely get more submissions for concerts with standard ensembles versus ones that we make up, because then people usually have to write new scores for that.
It sounds really involved now. You guys are a nonprofit and you work together on a volunteer basis. Mm-hmm. So you guys are in it for the music.
Absolutely. You know, we really started, Ryan Taylor and myself founded Salty Cricket together, and it was because there's a wonderful new music scene associated with the universities mostly, and then sometimes Utah Symphony plays modern music, but there really isn't an avenue for people who are post their academic careers but still are composing, still have that bug, still want to get their music heard. And in other cities like New York and LA, there's so many more resources. There's other composer collectives. There's lots of ensembles that only perform new music. And we just felt like we needed to make a space for ourselves here in Utah.
And speaking of Utah and the music scene here, what is the state of your type of music here and in the United States in general, would you say?
Well, you know, classical music in itself isn't, you know, super popular, but it's certainly growing, and I think millennials are more interested in checking out different kinds of music. You know, my iPod is full of all sorts of crazy stuff. I mean, it'll go from John Cage to opera to Black Eyed Peas, you know? I mean, so, and then maybe Dolly Parton after that. So new music, since we're a subgenre of classical music, certainly even fewer people know about us, but we are growing. People really enjoy our concerts. Our audiences grow each time, and it's really exciting. So,
well, thanks for doing it. I think it's a really important contribution to the community, and obviously other people agree. Check out saltycrickets.org for more information on upcoming performances and the past history of the group. It's time now to listen to one of your performances, actually, Crystal. This is Kuyon.
Thank you.
to saltycricket.org for more information about the group and upcoming performances. Local First Utah is a not-for-profit organization that strengthens local businesses. LFU, founded in 2005 by a small group of volunteer business owners, now boasts more than 2,700 independent retailers across Utah. And during the first official shopping week of the holiday season, LFU holds Buy Local First Week, which encourages consumers to make the 10% shift to buy local for a week straight. Here's Slug writer Ben Trentleman talking to Executive Director Michelle Thompson.
How did Local First Utah get started and how did you get involved?
Well, Local First Utah started in 2005 by a few locally owned business owners getting together and with the mission of providing education to our community about why it's important to buy local. And since 2005, we've grown to over 3,000 partner organizations that have partnered with us. And I got involved actually just this year. In August, I came on as the executive director. I previously have owned an event management company. My business was a partner with Local First, and so I was very aware of the mission and the history and the goals and the social aspects of the organization. I was excited to become a part of it.
How far-reaching is Local First Utah? Is it limited to Northern Utah, or is it statewide? Do you guys have plans to expand now?
We are absolutely statewide. We are based in Salt Lake City, but we do try to reach to all four corners of the state. We have a great presence with our Local First Ogden chapter that's very active up in the Ogden area. They just actually did their annual fundraiser. We also have partnerships all over the state. Moab, St. George, Syracuse is getting more involved. And of course, the Salt Lake City business districts, 9th and 9th, 15th and 15th, 21st and 21st, those areas. But we really do try to reach statewide and get all local businesses in the state of Utah involved and help market their businesses for them and support them in any way that we can.
What have been some obstacles that Local First Utah has had to overcome in spreading the local word? Are people generally supportive of the mission?
People in general, yes, are very supportive of the mission. I think that depending on kind of who you are and where you are in your life and what your shopping needs are. Shopping local can oftentimes be at the top of your mind and sometimes not. And so one of our challenges is to educate consumers about keeping that money here. And when you have the option to choose a local business or service provider to do so and to be conscious of those decisions, which isn't always easy in our very busy lives.
I'll miss the sunshine, I'll miss the moon, I'll miss the snow fields that put sparkles in your shoes, but I am gone, I am gone.
What are the real, true benefits of local businesses to our local community and economy?
Well, one of the cold hard facts is that's actually quoted on our website is when you spend $100 at a local business, 68% of those dollars stay in the local community. And that's from everything from paying the wages and salaries of the workers, how they reinvest that money buying locally themselves, versus the $57 if you shop at a non-locally owned business. So that's kind of the black and white fact of buying locally and how that impacts our community as a whole.
Have you seen a boom since you guys have been operating or people trying to get more active in purchasing locally or people becoming more militant about it and really refusing to go to those other big, large organizations or been the same? What are your numbers reflecting there?
Well, our numbers are definitely growing. We have over 3,000 partner organizations, which is huge, and we're one of the largest by local organizations in the country as far as numbers go. We also have over 5,000 Facebook fans, and so that's a number that's starting to hold some weight, mm-hmm. which is great. I don't think that we're anti-chain. Mm-hmm. We're not anti-big box. I think that there's a place in the marketplace for all of them.
Yeah.
And certainly there are, depending on your tax bracket, your needs, your shopping patterns, what you need at a specific time will dictate where you shop and where you spend those dollars. What we try to encourage is the education of the buying power of the individual, and that if you choose to buy local, that you're doing more and creating a richer, deeper community for us in Utah.
Can you tell me about some of the businesses that have been involved with Local First Utah?
Absolutely. We have some really, of course, like I said, 3,000 partner businesses, but we also have some really great supporters who actually help pay our bills and help us function as an organization. Harmon's Grocery Stores is a great supporter of us. We all shop at Harmon's. We love Harmon's, and we're very involved with them, as they are with us. Also, OC Tanner is another one of our great partners. And then all of our media partners, including Slug Magazine. City Weekly is a great resource with them. We do an event with them every year. Third Sun Productions, they handle our website needs. Utah Micro Enterprise Loan Fund provides us our office space. And there's a real diversity in our partner organizations, from service providers, anybody, you know, from somebody to do your bookkeeping and accounting work, to massage therapists, and then retailers, you know, retail shops, and there's just a real great diversity. So, and all of those are listed on our website.
So on the website as well, people can find a directory of all the businesses that you are locally partnered with?
Absolutely. You can search our 3,000 partner businesses online. You can search it by the name of the business. You can search it by the map. We have a map feature on there. And find out more about the business, a little description, and then also link straight through to their website if they have them.
What does a local entrepreneur have to do to get involved?
All you have to do is be 51% locally owned and operated, and then you go to our website and there's a partner approval process, so you put in all of your pertinent data, and then that generates an email to our staff, and then we go through kind of an approval process where we verify all of the information, and we kind of check you out, make sure that you're legitimate, and then once you're approved, you'll receive an email confirmation and a packet in the mail with the Buy Local First window cling that everybody is very familiar with, and some of the features of being a partner with us.
Aside from buying local, what can people do to support Local First Utah?
Well, we're always looking for funding, as all nonprofits are. Absolutely. The more partner businesses we get, the broader our reach. We also are looking for volunteers for the several events that we do throughout the course of the year. And we also have internships with the organization, either through universities to help with internship hours, and then just folks that love to volunteer for us and want to be more involved, we always have opportunities to help out.
Got the holidays rapidly approaching and you're plugged into all these local businesses, so do you have anything special planned or what can we look forward to?
We do. So Black Friday is our Buy Local First Week campaign, and one of our challenges is to get people to think about buying local during the holiday, and our goal is to get people to shift 10% of their holiday spending to local businesses this year. So if you go to our website, which is localfirst.org, you can find out more about the Buy Local First Week campaign, and many of our partner organizations have offered discounts, coupons, discount codes on their websites with features and promotions just for the Buy Local First Week, and some are extending all the way through the end of the year, and all the details can be found on our website. So that's a great resource not only for consumers but also for partner organizations to get involved and help drive some traffic into their stores this holiday season.
Buy Local First Week takes place from November 25th through December 2nd. And for more information on events, businesses, and other local resources, you can check out their website, localfirst.org. It's time once more to do our daily weekly calendar rundown, which may sound funny, but it means that we're going to go talk about daily events in a week-long format. We're sitting here with editorial assistant Esther Moronio. How are you doing?
I think you get that backwards every time. I think it's weekly daily calendar.
This is why we keep you around. Fact checker. Well, it doesn't make sense to me anyway, so I would... Daily, weekly? What the hell? Weekly, daily.
Okay.
Is that better?
Yes.
Let's start with Wednesday, December 7th. It's the Add a Dash of Local Art opening reception with Todd Powelson at Trolley Square Whole Foods. It's another in their series of a local artist events. You're familiar mm-hmm. with this guy.
Yeah, he's part of Art Duh with Anna West. His art is really awesome. Kind of reminds me of Picasso a little bit. Kind of collage style and like really bright and beautiful. So I definitely say that you should check it out. I think it's going to be one of the last receptions. Obviously, we're going to have art at Trolley Square every month from a different artist. This is the last actual reception. So go, because they provide free food and awesome art.
Bonus, bonus. And a few days later, on December 9th, the entrance band Spell Talk and Dark Seas will be playing at Urban Lounge. Two great local bands and a really good national headlining band. Did you see the entrance band when they opened for the Magnetic Zeros and Edward Sharpe and his old company at Twilight this year?
I actually missed that show. That was one of the only Twilights I didn't go to, unfortunately.
That was a really good one. I actually got to take the entrance band out to lunch when they came to town that time.
What?
And I fell in love with Paz. She's an amazing female bassist. That alone is reason to go. If you are into female bassists, like a friend of mine, then you really will like that performance. But it's playing alongside another interesting event that night.
Mm-hmm. It's the KRCL's second annual Polar Jubilee. It's at the Salt Lake Hardware Building. It's a really, really beautiful building. Last year's Jubilee included a silent auction. And I believe this year's is circus-themed. Should be a lot of fun.
It's a way for KRCL to raise money and get support for the organization throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
And Sunday, December 11th, the Blackheart Procession, actually just Blackheart Procession and Chelsea Wolfe are going to be at Urban, so two good Urban shows this week. That band was actually on a cover of ours back in the early or mid-2000s.
Mm-hmm. 2006, we have the cover up here in the Slug office signed by the band. And according to Angela Brown, they actually designed the cover themselves.
So go to our website, slugmag.com, check out the cover in the archive, and read the story about the group there. Speaking of groups, Blue Man Group is coming to town, Esther. I can see you're excited about that. They're going to be at Kingsbury from Wednesday through Sunday. Have you ever seen the Blue Man Group?
I
know you're laughing.
I haven't seen the Blue Man Group, but every time I think of them, I think of Arrested Development.
Dr. Tobias Funk.
Funke.
Sorry, I should know that. I'm not nerdy enough. Sorry.
I blew myself.
People don't know. We're just laughing a lot. Go check those episodes out if you want, or just go see the Blue Man Group in person. It's actually very hard to get into the Blue Man Group. I know it sounds like a joke, but these guys are really good actors and musicians, and they put on a hell of a show. I have seen the Blue Man Group, I'm gonna admit, so I'm not one of those haters that hates on the Blue Guys, because it's pretty impressive.
It's kind of cool that you get to see them here instead of going down to Vegas.
Yeah, you don't have to smell like a casino for 5 days after you come back. That inevitably happens to me. Vegas will sink into your skin. You can basically get the entertainment of Vegas right in your hometown.
Oh.
So check it out. And if you want to, you can read about more events on slugmag.com. We've got a daily calendar graph type table on the front page, or you can download our app and view it there. Do you have the app yet, Esther?
No, we've talked about this. I don't have an iPhone. We both have Androids.
I'm just wondering if you'd gotten an iPhone yet, if you're one of the cool kids yet.
No.
Well, think about it. Think about
thinking about going back to a flip phone.
Really?
Yeah. Little scrolly thing with the finger, it just doesn't really work for me.
Fair enough. Thanks again, Esther.
Oh, my dad's here. What? Hi, Dad.
This is the best end to one of our calendar segments ever. Esther, you're in trouble. You have to leave, but thank you for joining us.
Thanks.
Vina Cava are a punk rock band from Salt Lake City who started playing earlier this year at places like Boeing Collective and Burt's Tiki Lounge. From their recently completed self-titled demo, here's My Word. We'll be right back. You can catch the band Vina Cava next month at our localized showcase at Urban Lounge on Friday, January 13th at 10 p.m. Cost is just $5. For more information on the group, search Vina Cava on Facebook. Help Portrait is a global initiative connecting photographers with those in need. The group takes portraits for anyone who may not usually be able to afford them. The SLC Photo Collective is going to be the local gallery spearheading the event for the SLC market. A little backstory on the Photo Collective: it was created by photographer Dave Brewer back in July 2011. Brewer has worked with Slug Magazine in the past and still does. And here's another Slug staffer, Chris Proctor, interviewing Brewer about Help Portrait.
Tell listeners the idea of Help Portrait and who can be involved.
Help Portrait, in sum, is a collaboration of photographers, hair and makeup artists, and general volunteers all coming together to give back of their time and talents to the needy members of our community by way of providing a free professional photo shoot for people that otherwise wouldn't have the opportunity to be photographed. People that we generally work with are people that are, you know, registered or involved with homeless shelters, hospitals, the YWCA, Boys and Girls Clubs. We've reached out to a lot of different organizations here locally and had a lot of support from organizations such as the Road Home Shelter and other various organizations, including a lot of support from Slug Magazine, KRCL. A lot of companies or a lot of local organizations are wanting to jump on board to help support this cause. So basically, it's a day that we invite people to come into the studio to receive hair and makeup, get all dolled up, make them feel special, make them feel really pretty and loved, and we continue to take their portraits and have fun with them and let them take pictures of each other, all for free. And we actually do prints on the spot and deliver the prints to them the same day so that they can take them home, take them with them, share them with family and friends. And it's all conveniently right before Christmas. It's not necessarily a Christmas present or a Christmas event, but it is nice to be able to provide such a service, you know, for the holiday season.
And it's entirely free to them.
It is entirely free. We're not asking for anything in return. Everyone that is involved in making it happen is donating of their time, their equipment, their talents. We're actually asking for donations of food and clothing donations, a food and clothing drive, so that we have clothes that people can actually, you know, sort through and take with them what they need. In years past, we've worked with various restaurants in donating food for the day of for the event. Last year, Chartwell's, the food supplier for the University of Utah, donated upwards of, you know, they fed chili cheese dogs for 500 people, and it was an awesome event. And we're hoping that we can have other local organizations jump on board this year, because it's a great way to give back, and it's also a great way to get into that holiday spirit and receive a lot of, you actually receive more than you give in return. And I think that's what anyone who's been a part of Help Portrait can testify. You know, it's what you receive as far as the feeling of giving back and helping out and listening to the stories and seeing the smiles on people's faces that have never had the opportunity to feel beautiful and feel loved and be able to receive professional portraits. It's an incredible experience that I'm looking forward to keeping up here in Salt Lake.
If I'm interested in getting involved with Help Portrait, who do I go to? How do I get involved with that?
We have a Salt Lake City community page on the Help Portrait website, which you can easily find by going to www.help-portrait.com. And from there, you can search for different communities that are organizing events and just type in Salt Lake City. This year, there's actually a couple different organizations. I believe there's one in Ogden for people in northern Utah. We have the one located here in Salt Lake City. We're going to be hosting it at the Salt Lake City Photo Collective that is just on 200 South, 561 West. And you can also search for it on Facebook. And if you're wanting to get in contact directly with the Salt Lake City project, you could email me at dave@slcphotocollective.org, and I can provide you with all the information for volunteers and people that want to get involved, whether you're a photographer, hair and makeup artist, or general volunteer that just wants to help organize the event. We're in need of a lot of help and support, so we'd love to hear from you.
You started the Utah chapter of the Help Portrait, is that correct?
Yeah, I guess you could say that I started it, but I wasn't, definitely was part of a larger vision. I had seen kind of the health portrait movement on various blogs and websites, and this was back in 2009. And just as the date got closer and closer, I kind of realized that I hadn't seen anyone kind of taking the initiative to start anything here in Salt Lake. Somehow or another, I ended up showing a couple health portrait promo videos to one of my classes at the University of Utah at the time. And somehow, after watching some of the videos, I just said, hey, I think I'm going to start something here in Salt Lake. If anyone is interested in helping out, like, let me know. And so without really planning on it, it just kind of came about. It's definitely not about me as a photographer, but it's basically just, I'm just fortunate enough to be able to bring a lot of people together, a lot of different photographers and hair and makeup artists, just people that I'm just friends and people that I've worked with, and we were able to make things happen in 2009. We did it again in 2010, and this is going to be the third year, December 10th, 2011.
Has it grown much since 2009?
Definitely. The first year actually was considerably big. We probably promoted it for less than a month before the final date. I think we probably worked on it for 3 weeks, so I wasn't really sure how big of a turnout we would have, but we had a couple hundred people come through in 2009, and I think I totaled up about 500 people, including volunteers and photographers and people that were donating of their time and talents in 2010. This year, you know, it's going to be a little bit different because we're going to be working at a smaller venue. We're going to be hosting it at the new SLC Photo Collective, which is smaller in size, but it is also located conveniently right next to the Road Home Shelter and other various shelters in the neighborhood that we're collaborating with. So I feel like we're going to have a lot of people participate, and we'll probably limit the number of photographers or photo stations, but we'll be able to kind of rotate people in. So I'm assuming that it's going to be smaller in size, but larger
than Studio 600?
Than where we hosted it in the previous years. It was at Studio 600.
They made some revisions, not revisions, they changed up the rules a little bit as opposed to last year's Help Portrait. Are you going to be adapting those same things to your Help Portrait here in Salt Lake?
Yeah, so in years past, it was kind of just explained that, you know, this isn't about, it's never been about the photographers or our portfolio or our lighting. It's not about us. It's just a way to be able to give back to the needy members of our community, people that otherwise couldn't afford portraits or haven't had the opportunity to be professionally photographed. And in years past, it's been very, we've been really conscious of privacy and not, you know, posting photos on to online web galleries or just, you know, not exploiting any stories or situations, because it's an awesome experience to be a part of. And so, but this year the main help portrait organizers have kind of decided that this year we want to do things a little bit differently, and we want to actually be able to share people's photos and people's stories with their permission, of course, online on web galleries, sending the photos to help portrait so that they can, you know, reach even more people, reach a broader audience with the amazing stories of reconciliation and people that haven't had their picture taken in 30 years and things like that. So that's something that's going to be a little bit different this year, is we're actually going to be able to share the photos and share the stories that go along with the photos outside of just the day of the event. And we're also going to be opening it up to kind of a general art collaboration project, and we're going to be, you know, allowing the subjects to be able to actually take photographs themselves, you know, set up the camera for them, show them how it works, let them take a picture of one of their family members or loved ones. And so it kind of adds to that interaction. And we're also, you know, allowing them to, you know, take it a step further and use pens or glitter or glue and make little art projects from their photos or write on their photos or dedicate them to someone, for whether it be for a Christmas present or just to have in general. So that's something that's a little bit different this year, and we're really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a good change.
So Help Portrait itself is actually a worldwide event.
It is, yeah. It was started in Nashville, Tennessee by a celebrity photographer. Primarily takes pictures of celebrities and bands. He was on tour with Britney Spears. His name is Jeremy Cowart. But he kind of realized that for him it was more important to be able to use his camera to give back to the community. And so he decided he wanted to organize just a little shoot for people that otherwise couldn't afford, portraits and things like that. You know, he received a ton of support, and also a lot of people responded to it saying, wow, if you ever do this again, let me know. I'd love to be a part of it. And people from other cities started saying, oh, we'd love to do something like this in our city. You know, in a very short period of time, it grew to what is now a worldwide movement. It's a shift in thinking about photography. It is, I think it's a collaboration that exists in over 50 countries at this point in every major city in the United States. So it's really awesome to see how just an idea can really explode and become a movement and become something that's so much more than just taking pictures of something random. I mean, it's a way of giving back to the community, and it's a way of growing together and forming relationships and forming friendships, and it's an incredible experience, definitely.
How important do you think it is for people to have these photos? This event kind of gives them a chance to have something that they haven't had before in their lives. How important do you think this is for people during this holiday season?
Well, I think it's a great opportunity for those that choose to be involved by way of coming in and being photographed, because for one, it's not just about taking a picture. It's about hearing their story and hearing where they've come from and where they're going and how much progress they've made, and actually, you know, getting to know these people and interacting with them, because they all have such incredible stories and incredible personalities. You know, we actually receive more than we give in that sense. But I actually have had a few people that have contacted us, whether it be during the event or after the event, and explained that, you know, they had never had their picture taken in 40 years, or the last time that I remember a certain gentleman said the last time he had his picture taken was 45 years ago. And I said, well, where were you when you got your picture taken? He said, well, it was in jail. It was the last time I'd had my picture taken. And, you know, it's just kind of, it's interesting to take a step back and realize that in this day and age, in 2011, it seems like everyone has the capability of taking pictures, whether they have a cell phone camera or, you know, a great little digital camera. And a lot of people just don't have that opportunity to document their lives or to take pictures of themselves to send to family and friends. So to be able to provide this service and engage in conversation with people and hear their stories and, you know, share experiences, and to actually provide them with a physical print of them, of their family, that they can then send to other family and friends or hang on to, it's just an incredible experience. It's definitely something that if you haven't been involved with, I definitely recommend that you come check it out, because it's going to be an awesome time.
Visit Help Portraits Saturday, December 10th from noon to 6 p.m. at the SLC Photo Collective at 561 West 200 South in downtown Salt Lake City. To find out more about the worldwide project, visit them on the web at help-portrait.com. And for more information on the Photo Collective, check out their website at slcphotocollective.org. Thanks again for listening to Sound Waves from the Underground. For more info about music and everything that isn't shitty in Utah, visit our website at slugmag.com. If you have any questions or a comment or anything really, you can send us an email to soundwaves@slugmag.com or call and leave a message on our voicemail line at 858-233-9324. The show is produced by Gavin Sheehan. The executive producer is Angela H. Brown, with associate producers Ricky Vigil, Jeanette D. Moses, Esther Moronio, and Jonathan Paxton. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine, and our show's theme was performed by Birthquake and recorded by Jesse Ellis, with our main logo and art design by T. Doan and technical design from Kate O'Connor. You can join us next week as we interview Parallax about their final performance, chat with Jeffrey Stedman from Yelp, go back into the archives with Wanda Jackson, and check out the latest works at Gallery Blonde Grizzly.